She's truly a breath of fresh air. Tracy ignites dreams. And when you walk away from a meeting with Tracy Martin, you walk away with what I call a ripple effect.
And the type of energy that was radiating from her was like a ripple effect. I never met someone like her before, and I knew that her intentions were pure, and she spoke nothing but the truth.
Check in with Tracy. Do the work. You got this.
Welcome to TLM Nation. I'm your host, Tracy Martin. This podcast exists to make you think and ask questions, to amplify the voices of Gen Z and those that are doing good out in the world, to lift the veil on some truths that we all need to hear, and to have transparent conversations that lead to change. It is time to be bold. TLM Nation podcast starts now. Hello and welcome back to TLM Nation, you guys. I am beyond excited for this little episode we got going on here. Kind of an impromptu with my girls. I'm going to let them introduce themselves a little bit, but let me give you a little bit of background. To my far right, if you guys are watching on video, I have my youngest child, Marina Ray. We call her Boo. That's just kind of an inner thing. But I'm excited to have her here because this topic is all about Gen Z life, what you're doing in school, what you're not doing, entrepreneurial stuff, relationships, dating. We're going to jump into it all. And then in the middle here is Margot. Margot is one of our ambassadors. We have a long history of family together. I know her parents. And so this conversation should be a lot of fun. But more importantly, I want to get you guys kind of dialed into what we're talking about with college, high school, entrepreneurial stuff, which is a great topic that we love. Relationships, dating, family, parents, how we're navigating that, and then just how you guys are doing in the world. So with that being said, I'm going to hand the mic over to Margot, and I want her to just tell you a little bit about her background and where she's at right now.
So as Tracy said, my name is Margot. I'm going to be a junior at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and currently I do distribution and marketing for a sunglass company based in Hong Kong.
Very good. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get into the entrepreneurial part, because I want you to be able to talk about the stuff that you're working on. And far end.
I'm Marina, Tracy's daughter, and I'm currently going to be a junior at the University of Arizona, and I'm from Scottsdale as well.
And what are you doing at U of A?
Right now, major is marketing.
Okay.
Business marketing.
Okay, so a couple things. I want to talk to you guys, and you guys can decide who wants to take the question and how you guys want to pass it back and forth. So when you decided to pick SMU, right, your choice, when you left high school for, and I'm sorry, when you left school and you were going into college, right, and that was the thing, what were your thought processes? Because part of the thing that this will air like probably early July, and we've got a lot of kids that are going back to school, right? A lot of things. So I really want this to be value driven for them. So what was it like for you when you finally made that decision and you pulled the trigger and then you were heading that way?
Yeah, so I was really excited to move past high school. As you know, but they don't know, I had a pretty rough high school experience, especially in my junior and senior year. It was just really hard. COVID, there were a lot of things going on. But I was really excited to jump into something new, find really good, strong friendships, good people, get some really awesome, like, things moving. I was excited about my major. I do business management. I know a lot of people are really scared about the transition, but I was actually really excited because I didn't have a lot to hold on to back in St. Louis.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. What about you when you decided to go to U of A?
I was excited. Mine was a little bit different because I did community college for a year first and then went to U of A, which I was a little upset about at first, but it was the right path because for a year I was able to work and then kind of just like get like the basic classes and then go to U of A. But I was like excited for kind of like a whole new start somewhere, a new environment, kind of like meet new people and everything.
What was
kind of get out of high school?
Yeah. What was the biggest surprise for you when you got there that you weren't expecting, that you were like totally like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming?
Well, I think for me, obviously SMU has a reputation of having a lot of money, which is not untrue. But I think for me, I was very pleasantly surprised by how many truly incredible people I've met and how many people have my back. I have really, really good friends. The first time in my life, I think I really have a lot of people in my corner. And I was pleasantly surprised by how kind and caring and generous and respectful people are, despite the reputation that I think comes with going to SMU.
Yeah. What about you? What were you like kind of surprised or like, I didn't see that coming, or in a good way or a bad way?
I don't know if there's anything I was like really surprised about. I mean, being able to like stay structured for sure, because there's like, it's college, there's so much is around you.
Yeah.
And there's everything. So being able to like, because there's people that are going to be disciplined and there's people that are just not going to have a care in the world.
Right.
So that, but like, also, like, a lot of people from my high school did go to U of A, and, like, kind of understanding the people that, like, I want to stay in my life and the people that are, like, okay, I'm going to leave that in high school. But, I mean, I keep my circle, like, very small, and I'm, like, happy with the people that have stayed in that, too.
What was the toughest, like, lifestyle, like, something that you needed to grow, like, as far as, like, within your lifestyle? So, like, for instance, when you're at home, you're going to high school, even though you're structured, too, but you've got, like, mom there, dad there, doing your things. It's like, what was the toughest, like, lifestyle transition when it came to being on your own in that environment for you?
For me, it was definitely going to the gym. I mean, it took me forever. It wasn't until, like, mid-November of my sophomore year of college that I was really able to get in that routine and stay disciplined. And, you know, it didn't matter what I was doing that day. I was getting to the gym.
What was the most difficult thing for you when you got to school that you had trouble with the lifestyle transition? Like, what you needed in your life that you know that you were missing?
Yeah, I think for me, it was definitely, like, getting to the gym. My freshman year, a lot of it was the scheduling was hard, and I was still really getting the hang of things. And first semester and second semester were so drastically different that it was really hard to get into a good routine. But then my sophomore year, a lot of it was just about self-discipline and really having to push myself to get there. But once it became routine and became a habit, it was so good for me, and I was so grateful that I was doing it, that it really changed everything.
Yeah. What about you?
I think before college, I was, like, still, like, a disciplined person, like, yeah, growing up, like, in the gym with you and everything. But probably work, because I was always working,
mm-hmm,
and I went from home and then to U of A, and I think the first semester I didn't have a job at all. And then then second semester I decided to get a job, and that kind of, like, kept me very structured. But, I mean, the different thing was, like, living with six girls was a lot, and all of them random besides one. So, like, that was kind of a thing.
One was
of being,
chosen.
Like, one was, yeah, one was good, but the other one was, like, they were all, like, random, and it was kind of just, like, adjusting to that, being, like, okay, like, are we going to be roommates, or is it going to be friends, or is it going to be, like, what was kind of going to be the dynamic?
So what was the deciding factor?
I mean, like, I mean, one was crazy. That's a story for another time, but that one was crazy. But I think it was just, like, understanding, like, people, like, have different lifestyles and everything, and if you're going into, like, a random roommate situation, like, being, like, open to meeting, like, getting to know the person.
Yeah.
And then if there's a certain point when you're just kind of like, oh, I don't know if, like, we connect, then kind of just being like, do your thing, and then they do their
compartmentalize
thing.
It.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, and that was, like, one I didn't barely talk to, but then, like, two are, like, the sweetest, like, girls that, like, I love, yeah, and I know I'll continue to talk to and everything.
So then it is true. You really don't know anyone until you live with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, right? Some people are, like, you're really good at being friends with them, but you don't know how it would be if you
live with them. Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
there's other people that you live really well with, and y'all are great as roommates, but you don't necessarily see eye to eye on a friendship.
There's not a social. Yeah. There's,
yeah,
not a social,
yeah,
part.
But you, like, live well together,
roommate,
and that's easy. You,
yeah,
know?
They clean up after themselves, like, kind of, yeah, like that.
They're responsible people. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes out in that environment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can know someone
in their
but,
home, so right, you know who they truly are.
They kind of let, yeah, yeah, they kind of let themselves, like,
yeah, true colors come out.
Yes, in front of the TV, hand down their pants, the whole entire thing, dishes in the sink, and
yeah
just kind of chilling. Yeah, So what do you think is going to be the biggest difference for you? And then we're going to get into some other stuff. What do you think is going to be the biggest difference from you now? Because aren't you moving into the home?
Yeah, so
on campus?
I've lived in a dorm for the past 2 years, which dorm life is really difficult, especially, you know, I'm almost 21 years old. I was 20 all of this year. I've had a car. So it was really hard adjusting.
You need your own space.
Yeah, you're an adult and you're on your own, but you're also kind of not. And yeah. High school makes you pay for a meal plan that I wasn't eating. It just became expensive for bad reasons. And I've been done living on top of another person.
Yeah.
Because I've done it for the last 2 years. So I'm moving into a house off campus, like 5 minutes off campus. And I'm really, really excited. I'm living with 3 of my closest friends.
So there'll be 4 of you total?
Yeah, and okay. We have a 2-year lease. So we'll be okay. In that house until we graduate, which is really cool. Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing, knowing you have
that's
some
really nice.
Peace
you're
of
like,
calm.
You're secure with
yeah. Stability, yeah. And it's like, I know that I have a home for the next 2 years. I get to decorate it the way that I want to, get to cook. I get to kind of have a little life there with my friends.
Well, the cooking part,
appreciate.
I think, is big, which with the dorm, which we didn't
that's
touch
the
upon.
Biggest thing.
Because I have a lot of clients now that are going into freshman year into dorms, and they are the same thing. They like exercise, take care of themselves, food, nutrition, and you really don't
it's
have
difficult.
That. Mm-hmm. You don't have that flexibility.
No, it's so difficult, especially with dorm living.
To take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah. What was the toughest thing for you whenever you got to U of A as far as, like, the campus life? Not just your apartment, but, like, going to classes, like, navigating that whole thing, being one of how many in a class versus, like, one of, what, 25 at high school? What was that like?
I mean, it's completely, it's like you're going from a high school where, like, you know everyone, and then you're going to a big college, and it's like, you're going to maybe see, like, the same person a few times, but you don't know who they are. Like, there's, like, so many people. And I think the biggest thing for me was, like, I had trouble, like, being more, like, outgoing and, like, putting myself out there to meet people. And then kind of being like, okay, like, you have to do that. Like, you're not, people aren't always just going to come up to you every single time.
Right.
So kind of just, like, being like, okay, like, have the confidence and then put yourself out there.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about once you got there and once you had your first experience, what did you see, like, your personality that was emerging? That even though you know it's there, you get to actually exercise. Like, there's this new version, right? What was Margot 2.0?
You know, I think with the experiences I had in my last couple years of high school, I was very hesitant about friends, and I kind of shut myself off and closed myself off from a lot of people to protect myself. And I think going into college, I got to come in with a clean slate. Nobody knew me. Nobody, you know.
No history.
Exactly. And that was really, really cool for me because I kind of got to come in and be the really outgoing person I've always known myself to be. I got to be really social and to try new things and try on different pieces of my personality. And that was really, really cool to me, was that I got to come in with this newfound sense of confidence because it didn't matter. You know, nobody knew me. I got to be whoever I wanted to be. And that was, you know, kind of who I had been before. But I wasn't scared to be that anymore.
Well, your guard wasn't up to be authentic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what about you, babe?
Well, I went to U of A in a relationship, and then I think that I just, like, then I got out of that relationship and kind of learned, like, okay, like, I need to be independent and became more independent. But I think whenever I went there, like, I really, like, he was kind of, like, my crutch, and I was kind of like, okay, like, if I'm not going to go do this tonight, like, I have him. Like, I'll be with him. Like, he can help me out. Like, he has his car here. Like, it was, like, I kind of just, like, really was, like, leaned on him for a lot, and which I was very grateful for. But then I realized I was, like, hey, like, I really got to do it on my own.
What was stopping you
and
from
it was,
growing?
Yeah. And then him and I, like, just realized that it was kind of, like, okay, like, I wasn't happy and I really needed to, like, figure it out on my own. And I did. And, of course, like, it takes time, of course, but, like, I think independence was the biggest thing.
Yeah. What's the hardest thing about breaking up with somebody on a campus where you go to school, even though it's a huge campus?
The hardest thing was my biggest thing that's the hardest thing for me when you're in a relationship and then you break up is they know everything about you. And you go just from, like, having that person with you like 24/7 and then to like strangers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I worked at the gym, so I'd see him all the time at the gym, and it's like, just like walk right by. And it's like, you know everything about me. You know my deepest secrets. I was with you every single day, like slept in your bed, everything. And it's like, then you just go from like all of that to like nothing.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, that's the hardest people. Thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That like this person knows everything about me.
Isn't that interesting dynamic? When you yeah. have that with
it's
somebody.
It's a hard concept for me.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
a hard concept for yeah. anybody. And then you're tethered, too, on so yeah. many so
like
many
I'm
levels.
So attached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that whole, I love that you said that, babe, because that, I think, is interesting because we go from everything, sharing everything, to all of a sudden, I'm sorry, I can't even talk to you. Right? It's like, mm-hmm. I can't even see, I can't have you anywhere.
So yeah.
It's really
like,
weird.
So I'd be at the gym, and it's like, he's on one end, and like, make eye contact, and I'm like, and that's it. And yeah. I'm like, what? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I think that happens the older you get versus when you're in high school. Sometimes I think it's hard because mm-hmm. sometimes you can transition into a friend. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can't, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's when you get older, it's like, it's way more cut and dried. Mm-hmm. When you do break up, it's like, I'm no
yeah,
more contact.
Yeah, because then, like, either, like, the high school relationship's kind of like, oh, didn't work out. Like,
yeah.
fell out of love or something, and then, like, kind of just, like, stay friends, but
yeah.
Well, I think part of it is that in high school, a lot of the people that you're dating and finding yourself, you know, being in relationships with are, like, your friends at first, you know, they're mm-hmm. in your friend group, but they hang out with your guy friends, whatever, but when you're in college, it's not always the case, and I think a lot more yeah. often you're finding yourself with people who might not have been your friend first.
Yeah. Right. Well, you started the relationship as
yeah.
dating.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
And then the intention maybe switched or something, and you really realize who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. So entrepreneurial-wise, you guys are both little entrepreneurs, which I love. So tell me, Margot, like, you're going for business management.
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like? If to like, what's your big picture with that?
Yeah, so my big picture, I went for business management because it's kind of more general, mm-hmm. I would say, compared to like a finance or accounting degree or even like a marketing degree. Business management, you get a little bit more of a taste of everything and you kind of learn how to run things. You know, I'm not the kind of person who ever wants to work for somebody else. That's always been my thing. That's just not of interest to me. So I think, you know, with the sunglass business that I'm working with right now, eventually I would like to extend what I'm doing to other product lines. So take on other other companies or other products and do the same thing, you know, distribute them if
right.
they need me to work in marketing, market them, all that kind of stuff after college. But I'll keep doing this until I graduate and pass that. And then eventually I'd like to work with my dad. I've learned a lot from him. I would like to take over what he's doing.
Yeah. It's fun when you live in the house that you can take some of that stuff back.
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity, and I'm very blessed to have it, and I'm not, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I forget that. I truly am so blessed to have that opportunity, and I'm going to take it for everything that it's worth.
No, for sure. What about you, babe? Like, what do you see, like, big picture for you when you're done and you've got what you need?
Yeah, well, I agree with Margot. Is, like, not working. I mean, working for myself. Kind of
yeah.
like being my own boss and everything. I don't want to be the person that's
freedom.
Gonna be, you know, making them a bunch of money.
Exactly.
I want to be doing that. So, I think for marketing, I'm really interested with the sports marketing. I think the sports industry is huge and has a great opportunity with marketing for that. That's definitely, like, future, like, later down the road. But working for you right now and on the tomboy lifestyle and everything with that.
So let's shift gears a little bit because, as we know, girls, we are very layered, right? We can do so many things. What is your take, like, on your growth as far as, you know, like we said, we're layered, right? You're a daughter, you're a sister, you know, you're a student, you're an entrepreneur, you're all those things. But when it comes to being a young woman in the world, like, what does that mean to you and what you see in your generation, your demographic? How does that fit for you? Like, you're strong feminine and you're, like, who you are. Like, what's your voice in the world for that? When it comes to, like, in the future, right? Because I mean, do you want to be married? Do you want to have a family? Do you want to, like, achieve those kinds of... Is that part of what you want to do?
Yeah, so I've kind of had that figured out for a while. I know I want to get married. I know I want to have a family. I want 5 kids, which is a lot. And I would like to keep working while I do that. Obviously, you know, that's a challenge and something that's going to require a lot of discipline from me and great time management skills. But I think I would like to play a lot of roles in my life. Mm-hmm. But definitely married with kids, continuing to work at that time, you know, maybe taking more of a backseat role, but still being involved with something. I think that's kind of...
No, it's good. Well, and because it's seasonal, right? You guys really talk about that. It's seasonal. So what about you, babe?
I mean, I definitely, like, when I graduate, like, I want to move away and, like, have my career. And I want to, like, work for a while. That's, like, me, McKenna, and I are so opposite with that. But,
yeah, yeah.
I definitely want to
have good.
That.
And that's good. That's totally fine. Everybody should. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm definitely know, like, I love to stay busy. I love to constantly be doing something in moderation. But, like...
I need a nap on occasion.
Yeah, sometimes run myself dry or get sick, but that's okay.
We've all
done that.
Crazy stuff there.
Yeah, just staying busy and then definitely having a career and building that up. And then when the time comes, definitely being married and having a family. I want boys.
Yeah.
I'm a boy mom.
Why? I had you. You were a great daughter.
I know, but
more boys, one little girl.
I want to be...
That's what I want.
Boy mom. Or, like, I want three kids. Or, like, two boys, one girl or something. But definitely.
Too many girls.
Y'all can fix that, right?
But, yeah.
You can't really decide that. Just letting you know.
Yeah. I can
we'll
pray
say
for
a prayer.
It. I'll pray for it.
Say a little prayer for sure. So where does your own, I want to jump into style because, as you know, we love fashion and that. So mm-hmm. where does, like, your style, where do you think you pick it from? I mean, I know you guys both like vintage and mm-hmm. consignment and secondhand
more, like,
and that kind of
90s,
stuff.
90s, I feel like. So okay. Both have like kind of like a little more 90s mm-hmm. style. But, like, Pinterest is a huge thing for me. Like,
okay,
I
you
love
mean for
Pinterest.
Inspiration?
Inspiration, yeah. And of course, like, I use, like, my friends for inspiration too. Like,
yeah.
I look at Margot Leave the House for, like, a picture, and I'm like, oh, she's so cool. I'm like, I want that. So I think that's cool because also some girls. With friends, they can, like, be like, oh, that's cute. And then they're like, oh, like, they can be, like, kind of pissy about it.
Yeah.
Like, some girls can be like that.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of being, like, loving your friend's style and, like, finding inspiration in that, I think is cool.
What about you, babe?
I think for me, it's so hard because my style kind of, like, combines, like, this, like, clean girl aesthetic that we've got going on now with, like, the 90s grunge
minimalist
bit,
stuff, with
which
it,
I also combine with, like, bohemian flowy long stuff. So I think for me it's always been about first what I feel good in. Like, if I'm putting on something and I don't feel good
You're
in it
confident.
It's not I don't want to wear that. I'm getting a lot more into buying pieces that are timeless now. So a lot of things...
She's growing up.
I know. I'm getting older.
You've taught us that.
But a lot more, like, timeless pieces. In the past, like, year, I've gotten really into thrifting and vintage just because a lot of the stuff lasts better, too.
Yeah, it's made better.
And it's, investing in it.
Well, and it's funny because I find that the pieces... I can buy a basic, you know, black shirt thrifted and one, you know, at a whatever store. And it's funny because the thrifted one has 10 times more longevity in my closet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We made good shit back then.
Yeah. Did.
How much pressure do you guys feel as young women in today's world with the conversation of social media, of friends, of school, of business, of, like, your style, what you have to look like? How much pressure do you guys feel?
An immense amount of pressure.
Do you think the pressure is rightfully distributed, or do you think that, in other words, like, guys and girls, or do you think so much of it goes, like, do girls pick their crazy?
Oh, I don't think. Maybe. I think, you know, the difference between guys and girls with social media is that for guys, I think, and obviously all of this is to an extent.
Right.
You know, I see my little brother and my guy friends and what they're interested in, what they're posting. It's, you know, sports and that kind of stuff. It's a lot more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. They don't really let the shit from social media get on
them. The comparison.
You know? Yeah. And I think for girls, even if you don't want to compare yourself to others, I feel like it's so hard not to.
You just always end up to.
Yeah, and I think social media, I mean, it's so destructive mm-hmm. in so many ways. And, you know, I feel very confident in myself. I love myself, but I still find myself, you know, comparing mm-hmm. myself to other girls on social media, and it's really hard to kind of get out of that mindset sometimes.
Yeah. No, it is. And that's the reason why, you know, when you think, we talk about pressure, right? So it's like how much pressure is placed upon you, and then how much pressure do you take in for yourself? What do you think?
Oh, I think a lot more of it is placed on ourselves than, you know.
Yeah, like we do it to ourselves too.
I think that there's definitely like a societal expectations of certain things. And I think that people will treat you a certain way if you do certain things. But I think the comparison on social media, a lot of that is us putting it on ourselves. And I think a lot of the time we don't realize it either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's it's like what would Margot and Boo today, what would you guys say to your 15-year-old self?
It all happens for a reason.
Yeah, I think that's a great one.
It all, like, that's like the biggest thing that I had to learn, like, even this past year.
Yeah.
Was like so much was happening and I was like, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Like, why? And then it's just like kind of like take a step back and be like, it's all going to play out. Like, it's all going to come together and everything, and just kind of just not, like, stopping the worrying.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the story of your tattoo. Mm-hmm. So what happened that day?
When I got it?
Yeah.
So my tattoo is 13:7, and the tattoo, basically, it's the Bible verse is saying that you may not realize what's happening right now, but in the future, God will let you know why that happened. And I think about all the stuff that happens. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
But I'm like, then like 20 years later, like even when I look back, like high school stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's why that happened. That's why that person came out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And like at that time, maybe I thought we were like best friends. And then like when the friendship stopped, I'm like, why? Like, this makes no sense. Like, this should be in my life
forever.
You're
looking for answers.
And then 2 years later, I'm like, this is why. Like, that's why that
clarity
happened. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you were on campus at U of A, what happened, that little magical moment?
So I was walking on campus and to like the library or something, and I got stopped by these two girls, and they were like, randomly just came up to me. They're like, oh, do you have like a Bible study you go to? Or like anything. And I was like, oh, I have one, like, that I go with my mom here and there, like, back home in Scottsdale. But, like, that's really it. And then she was like, can I just, like, pray for you? And I'm like, never. I was like, okay, like.
Which normally you would have probably been like, I'm fine.
Yeah, normally I would be like, because I've been asked that before on campus too. But normally I would have been like, oh, I need to go. I'm late for a class or something. But I was like, why not? Like, sure.
You know, I'll use prayers. Yeah.
And literally, like, all she prayed for was like, I don't know what's happening right now, but it happens for a reason. Like, God has a plan. You're going to figure out in the future. And I stopped her in the middle of the prayer. I go, what? And she was like, I don't know. I just feel like you need to be told, like, that, like, you're not understanding what's going on right now, or something happened in a relationship with someone, or, like, you're devastated about this, but, like, later on, like, you're going to figure it out. And then I told her, I was like, I got this 3 days ago. And that's literally what you just prayed to me about.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's like what you feel, like, little God winks and everything.
Yeah. It's so true. But sometimes they come in like a little voice, and sometimes they come in like a megaphone.
Yeah. Because normally, like, I know myself, I definitely would not have, like, stopped. Or, like, would have, like, I always walk with my AirPods in on campus. Like, always. And then that time I didn't.
Yeah.
So.
So anything happen for you on SMU that kind of, like, made you stop and turn direction?
I don't know. I think a lot of it was probably before that.
Okay.
Turn direction in what way?
So, in other words, when you thought, like, oh, this is, we're groove, and then all of a sudden you hit a wall and you go, yeah, that's not gonna work.
I think a lot of that came before SMU. Similar to kind of what Boo was saying, you know, everything happens for a reason. And mm-hmm. I've really had to learn that people who walk out of your life or do something that makes you have to push them out of your life, it's so for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think in high school, I kind of hit that wall where it was like, again,
you
why
think
is...
they're going to, like, be your best friend.
Yeah, and, like, why
they're
is
always
going to
be there forever.
Me? Yeah, like, why me? What did I do wrong? And it's crazy because all of that, you know, once I actually got to college, it gave me kind of I was in the fast lane to being able to make good friendships and have the life that I wanted because I had so many struggles before.
Yeah.
So I think everything that happened before I got to college kind of was that pivot for me almost that allowed me once I got to college to really like.
It's a reset.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a whole new start, like you said, like no one knew you before that. Like,
right, there was no history there. And that, you hear me say all the time that reinvention is a master tool. You know, and I don't care if you're my age or your age. You know, I mean, it's like you go through so many different things in life that if you do not take a step back and realize that the adversity is actually an opportunity and a pathway, you know. But do you think a lot of kids your age actually understand that, or do you think that they just don't?
No. At least from my experience, especially like at college, I had a falling out with this girl and. You know, she kind of saw it as the end of the world, and I didn't really get it. And she was so surprised by how forgiving I was able to be and all these things, and it was just, I had done this all before.
Right.
You know, and I think so many people try to shield themselves from adversity, and they don't want to get hurt, but the fact of the matter is that I would probably be a pretty crappy person if I hadn't faced a bunch of adversity, you know?
I think that's everybody. I think it gives you an opportunity to create something.
Yeah, like why that happens.
And then you see the growth and you see who you become because of it. And it's like, thank God. You know, I wouldn't wish the shitty stuff that's happened to me in my life on anybody.
No, of course not.
But thank God it happened to me, because I don't think I would like the person who I would be without it. You know?
Well, I think it gives, like I said, it's an opportunity to actually to actually do something different and change who you are and respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do have an adversity the next time, you have something like a point of reference to go, oh, wait a minute, I actually got through that just fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm good. I totally got that. So last thing I want to talk about is where do you guys find your value? Like, and what I mean by that is, because we talk about self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem, all those kinds of things. Is a topic in a bunch of young women's conversation, because so many kids don't have that or they have to cultivate that. So, Margo, what do you think your value is or your worth is as a young woman today? And your strengths, what do you think that is?
In what way?
In any way, just for Margo being here right now at this moment in time and being, you know, Bob and Nikki's daughter and being, you know, a dear friend of our families, what do you think your value and your worth is for who you are right now as a young woman in 2023?
I think, you know, my parents always instilled the values of hard work in me, and I think that's been a big thing, is that I'm not afraid of working hard for something. I'm not, you know, if something looks unaccomplishable, you know, I take it bit by bit and chunk by chunk. But I think on top of that, I'm a very loyal person. I try to be very honest with people. I try to really respect the people in my life in the way that I would want them to respect me. And I think that, especially I found in my relationships in college, has brought so much value to the other people, because if you show them how you want to be treated and they can't keep up with that, then you know that they're not the right person for you. But for the people who can, you end up with really awesome people in your life. So I think, I guess being able to show others that they're valued
is yours.
Yeah.
That's your gift. I mean, because you have to realize that there are certain gifts and traits and talents that God's bestowed on all of us, right?
Yeah.
So when you start to realize that, oh, my strength is this, I'm a little bit weak in this area, but this is my superpower.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you actually should form your friendships.
Yeah.
Because it's because you have like this circle of friends, and one person's like a great communicator, one person's really good at this. And you look at that as a sum of the parts versus a deficit in ourselves.
Yeah.
It changes the relationship if you can get there, and not everyone can.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. What about you, babe?
I mean, you guys always, in like growing up in our household, like values and morals is like the biggest thing ever, which I want to instill in my kids. Working for what you want, that was definitely the biggest thing that I was taught, like getting a job like at a very young age and understanding like having a strong work ethic and how far that's going to take you in life.
And I like that too. Let me just piggyback on that. When you talk about strong work ethic, because we talked about like a few minutes ago, like growing in seasons, when you have a strong work ethic, it's not just for a job. it's a strong work ethic within a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a strong work ethic when it doesn't matter what it is.
Like I put it in my job, school, like gym. Gym's like mm-hmm. the number one thing.
Right.
Like very yeah. disciplined with that.
Right.
And friendships.
So, friendships, like, yeah.
I'm right. willing to work hard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like understanding like like if you have a friendship and understanding the actual value of that person and knowing like mm-hmm. they're a good person, like you don't want to screw it up. Like
right.
you want to like...
You're willing to put in the work, and that's why people always think, that's the only reason why I wanted to switch that a little bit, was people always talk about work ethic as, oh, my job, you know, but it's
so
actually,
it has to be so much more.
I'd say work ethic in yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it should apply to everything in your life.
Yeah, and how you do anything is how you do everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because, like, I think discipline is so unattractive.
Lack of discipline.
It's like
dang.
I think discipline is so unattractive. Let's rewind that really quick. Lack of discipline.
Yeah.
If you do not have discipline, I just think like it's not.
Isn't that funny that you use the word unattractive?
Yeah, it's unattractive.
It is.
In friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I want to be either friendship or a relationship. I want to be with someone that is like. Has their shit together, they know what they want, they're mm-hmm. gonna work for it, and they're gonna help you along the way. Like, you guys are gonna build each other up. Like,
yeah.
That's the number one thing. If we're just, like, doing nothing all day, like, not communicating and everything, like, what's the point?
Right. And then we talk about, like Daddy, being equally yoked, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. we're equally yoked in the relationship. And I think that when you have that strong sense of self, it's like, okay, I got to take this on, but then I take a step back, then you take a step forward, and we take, and there's that synergy.
Like the roles, kind
of. Yeah, there's a synergy part of it, which I think is interesting. But
but
the self-discipline part, I think, has been skewed in today's world because
mm-hmm.
I think that people look at it differently, you know, rather than it's like the hustle culture or this kind of stuff. It's like, no, it's actually really good to pour into
yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I told you guys both, tease dating advice was if you're out with a guy and you find yourself saying, never mind, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Wrong guy.
Okay. On that note, we are going to play a little game called Instagram Roulette. So what I want to do is we're going to pick a phone, who's ever phone, and we're just going to scroll and put our little finger on it, and we are going to have a discussion on it. Well, mine might be loaded. So,
mine's
going
to be slightly less loaded, but it might be
I'm
really
on
random.
The tomboy lifestyle.
Okay. So, Boo, well, you go first. You flip yours, and then let's go. Once it comes up there. And then we're going to discuss the topic just briefly to see what...
most of them are, like, just pictures of people.
Okay,
like,
but go
you
on your feed,
like,
and then flip it. Just, like, hit the scroll.
I think mine might be that.
There.
Oh, here? Oh, that's going to be all, like, my friends.
Mine is Sophia Richie, her closet.
This is...
Well, what about Sophia Richie's closet?
This is a rhinoceros. This is a wine tasting. I don't think that's
a
really...
A cat driving a car. Like,
this is a girl
that?
Who goes to my school. I might have something good. I feel like my explore page is going to be...
Okay. Pick something. Randomly pick something.
Our finger has landed on... Oh, dear Lord. This is not helpful.
I don't think this is going to work out.
It is going to work out. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a picture of Erica.
I got... That's a wrapper.
Okay. So, let's do this.
Here we go. Know your legumes.
That's food.
Food.
Nutrition, right?
Nutrition.
Okay, question. How much do you guys know about your food and your nutrition and how it affects your body versus maybe your friends don't know?
A lot.
I think I know very little grand scheme. I think compared to my friends, I probably know a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every time I come and stay with y'all, though, I learn a little something. So
yeah.
Coming back loaded with information.
What about you? In your friend group? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, of course, like, when I'm out with friends or something, I'm like, oh, like, let's go grab this or this. Or, like, when I moved out and was grocery shopping,
mm-hmm.
really understanding the value of, like, cooking and everything.
And not eating a $6 mango that you didn't pay for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the money. learning how to save and everything.
Yeah. And eat ramen.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, understanding that, like, because so many people, I think, have the mindset that, like, oh, it's healthy, it's organic, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, find the right things, and you can easily, like, cook a meal for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that's a topic that your generation needs to understand more about, how to take care of themselves?
I think just, like, health and wellness in general. I feel like
I think it's becoming a big thing, though, health and wellness, for sure.
I think the problem is
that it's a lot bigger than it seems.
There's a gap, though. It's, like, you either know nothing and probably don't care to know anything, or it's like the people that, like, are going to the gym, you know, they tend to be the people who also know, you know, what they should and shouldn't be eating and all these things. And then there's, like, this other group, I think, in our generation. It's very divided, where either you, like, really know how to take care of yourself, or you're kind of lacking. There's very few people, I feel like, that are falling in
the middle. Do you think the age of when you start to care? What do you think that is? I know it's different for everybody, but what would you say, just arbitrarily, how old do you think you were when you were a teen or going into being a young adult that you started to care?
I was 20 years old. In November, I decided that, because working out was always hard for me because it was like I was trying to meet an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like once I accomplished that goal, I was like, oh, we're done.
I'm done, yeah. So it's like the bride that says, I just want to fit in my dress.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I was always just trying to fit into my dress. And then I had to, and I worked really hard to do this, reframe my mind, and it was, no, Margaret, you are working out for a lifetime of health. Mm-hmm. You are working out so you can be at your grandkids' wedding, at your kids' wedding, at your great-grandkids' wedding. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time, and I think it's like that for a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, babe? When did you think you really cared?
I'm trying to remember, but I mean, like, of course, like, in high school, like, I cared, but, like, I probably didn't, like, understand the true value of it.
Yeah.
Definitely moving out and, like, having your own space, like, going from, like, living at home and then, like, having my apartment of, like, six people, and then finding out, like, I'm a very routine person. So understanding, okay, like, at this time, need to be up before this class to go to the gym and to do this and everything. So,
Well, I think you probably find that your thought process is a little bit different than mainstream.
Yeah.
Because it was the way, and like how you
And then you understand how different yours can be from someone else, too.
Right, right.
Like different lifestyles.
I hear that a lot, though, in the coaching studio. It's like, well, I just don't care. And so I'm always curious, like, when does the switch flip to where you're like, oh, no, actually, I do care about that now. You know, I mean, hopefully it's not to where you have a health crisis or something happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's that we get out ahead of it, you know?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's so hard now because, you know, people are addicted to fast food and they're addicted to snack food. And it's like, you know, to ask somebody, I have a lot of friends that if you, you know, fed them chicken and vegetables and beef for a week, they'd be like, this is so, like, what am I eating, you know? And that's
Don't come to my house.
But it's, like, the society that's around us has kind of created a lot of people just don't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
It's so different. Yeah. Like, everyone's, like, I remember when I was in Tucson, like, in my apartment, and I was thawing off 3 pounds of beef or chicken and
Your
salmon.
Friends probably thought you were crazy.
They were like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why is our sink full of beef? And I'm like, because I need beef and rice or something.
Yeah.
But, like, and while, like, they were just, like, either getting fast food or, like, doing, like, ordering in, like, every single night and everything.
Well, the convenience part, right?
Right. That's the big, I think that's a huge thing with college is the convenience.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, if I didn't want to, like, cook or something, I'd be like, oh, I could just go here. Like,
And
the money thing, like, spending so much, like, I'm like, oh, Chipotle's just right downstairs.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I could just go grab In-N-Out.
Which goes back to the discipline you talked about, you know, so much of it. Because I know, even, like, with me, I've been an early adapter of this for years and years and years, and it just, I was the person that was bringing my food when nobody else was, you know, and people were looking at me like it was crazy.
I made fun of you for it sometimes.
What?
I made fun of you.
Say a little louder.
I made fun of you for it sometimes. Like, we're like a family dinner in like Malibu or something, and you just pull out like a big bison burger and chow, and I'm like, really?
From the purse, straight from the
purse. Right, from the
burger
purse.
Burger patty, like, kraut in the other plastic bag.
And everything, and I'm like, okay, but then I'm like, okay, I'm doing it too.
Exactly. It's like, hey, now I'm just becoming that person. But it goes back to say it, do it, follow through, and make sure that you get the results from it.
Mm-hmm.
So give me
following through. That's the big thing.
Follow through is huge, right? As most people are really good at talking and looking at it, and then there's like
no
dropping the ball off.
With,
but then
like,
they have anxiety
in
around
yourself,
it.
Relationships, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but then they have anxiety around something, but they realize the action is what they need to take.
Mm-hmm.
So give me one nugget for girls that are your age that you've learned the wisdom of Margot and Boo. That should actually be your own podcast, Migs and Boo.
Let me think of my nugget. I might need a moment.
It's just like one thing that you can think of that is just super valuable that, you know, and it can be something you've learned, something that you've discovered, something somebody told you, whatever it is that you think is just that nugget of information that if you apply it in so many different areas of your life, it's never wrong.
I think this can like go along with like everything, but just because like someone else is doing it doesn't mean like you have to, or like because you want to do something else and they're going to give you shit for it, like that's okay. Like, and it's, I think that in college too or something, and it's like, yeah, you're going to go out, you're going to have fun. I'm like, I remember I'd like stay home just one Thursday and I'd get shit on by so many people or something. I'm like, okay, I want to sleep or something.
Well, you didn't
or
get
like,
shit from me. Yeah. I was happy.
All right. But, yeah, just kind of like, if it's not your path, it's not your path.
So stay in your own lane no matter the noise.
Or like how some people, like if they're like, oh, you need to do this, you need to have like this job or this. And I'd be like, okay, like everyone's going to have their own different path.
Yeah. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, babe?
I would say don't sell yourself short. Don't, and know your worth. And I think that this applies to your relationships and friendships, you know, knowing your value and when it's time to step away. But I think also, and this is coming from my personal experience being a woman going into the business world, but I'm kind of constantly told that, you know, people are not going to like me for that and that, you know, it's going to be harder for me. And it's like, I've never believed that, you know. I truly believe that if I work as hard as I feel I need to and do what I need to get done, that I won't face those challenges because I won't let that into my space because I know my worth.
Yeah.
So it's like I won't let somebody devalue me in any way, whether that's a friendship, that kind of relationship, or in the business world, you know. And I think so often young girls are kind of told that, you know, you're going to be devalued and all these things. But by telling us that, it feels kind of like you're devaluing us right then and there.
Well, that conversation goes, that's a whole nother podcast, to be honest. But
yeah.
But that conversation goes for any demographic of people that you might be devalued, but on the other end, it's how you deal
but
with it and how you take it in.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, I've experienced that my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, working in all different types of stuff that were mostly male dominated. But you start to realize it's how I carry myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I show up. And there are times where maybe I'm not the best candidate.
Yeah.
But I can't fall back on, oh, it's because I'm a girl. Because
exactly,
you dismiss
yeah.
yourself immediately rather than going, wait
people
a minute, did
pleasing.
I? Yeah, it's like maybe I didn't have the right skill. Okay, so then that's on
and
me
that's okay.
to go back and get it and to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But when you default to what everybody's telling you about your abilities or lack of or merit, you start to fall into that, and because literally if your mindset is, I'm doing my best, I'm showing up, I add value, I do have a unique perspective, whatever anybody else meets you with, you can take that and you can just either take it in or let it go.
Yeah.
You know, and but no, both of those were really good, you guys. It was really good, because I think you start to realize that you are either the obstacle or the pathway, you know, one way or the other, and that's been a big thing, because I mean, I've obviously brought you into the world, but I've known you for a very long time. And so watching you guys, I just want to say that, you know, and then we'll wrap up here in a second, but being a coach, being your mom, being, you know, all those different things, when I look at you guys and a lot of the other kids, but mostly you guys, because you are very special to me, but just know that as young women in today's world, that you can't change it if you look just like it. You know, so stepping and taking on the values, the morals, the decisions, the work ethic, whatever that is for you, keep moving in that direction, because you guys will crush it. You guys will do whatever you take on, but make sure that you just don't lose yourself through all that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, guys. It is so great to be with these two. Hopefully we'll do this again. Maybe
yeah.
soon.
Yeah, I would love to.
We'll do this again. But until then, we will put all the information for anything that Margot or Boo actually mentioned, Tomboy Lifestyle and One Sec Eyewear, right?
That
little
sense.
Selfless plug. Yes, put
yeah.
those on.
One Sec Eyewear. Go follow us on Instagram.
Right? And Tomboy Lifestyle on Instagram. And
No E.
No E repping this. But here's the thing. We're going to continue this conversation because I think it's really important that you guys talk. You guys have a platform. And then until then, if you guys have any questions, please like it, follow, subscribe, whatever they tell you guys to do at the end.
And more importantly, never sacrifice who you are. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the TLM Nation podcast. I hope you've learned something new and useful. I hope you're willing to ask questions and to seek truth and be bold in that. Please subscribe, drop us 5 stars and a great review, and we'll see you next time.